emotions come out, different thoughts come out. Either person feels that, okay, I have created so many things, I have created such a big thing, and then the person may feel pride, he may feel proud about it. Or sometimes when things don't go right, that time the person starts blaming. The living conditions start blaming. Why this happened? So I was just remembering, the example is given here of fire, and in 1871 there was a great fire in America, the place here, the city of Chicago caught fire, and almost the entire city was burned because of some reason. And then people were started finding out what is the cause, why this happened. And then they found out that there is a lady, Mrs. O'Leary. She had a cow shed, and there was a cow who accidentally kicked a lantern, and because the fire was there, and of course the whole barn got fire, and the entire city slowly caught up with this fire. Of course, various thoughts came. Many people started claiming many theories behind this fire. Some said that some people were sitting there and they were gambling, and while they were doing that, that caught fire. So many reasons. So people were trying to find what is the cause of this particular effect. We can also see that now, of course, it is very hot, summer, and everybody is waiting that the June month is beginning, when the rains will come. And we see that in the rains, the clouds come in the sky and it starts raining. But after the rain is over, the cause of that rain, the cloud, they vanishes. You don't see the clouds unless and until it's a long hour, something like 26 July, which we experienced few years back. But again, the point is that the cause is temporary because it is material, and the effect is also temporary. And the living entities, they start feeling that we can control this effects and we can be the cause of all these things. So there is a nice fairy tale which comes, it's a Greek fairy tale of King Midas. So this King Midas was very fond of gold. He was so fond of gold that he kept his daughter's name also as Goldie. Okay. And his daily job was to just count the gold, how much gold he has, how much treasure he has, coins he has. That was his daily job. And one day, one saintly person came, and he had done, of course, he was a nice king, so he had done a lot of charity. So one saintly person came and he said that, okay, what boon you want? So this fellow, because he was fond of gold, he said that whatever I touch should become gold. So he said, with lot of hesitation, saintly person, they understand actually what is good for the living entity. But he said, since you desire so strongly, I am giving you this boon, you become, whatever you touch should become gold. And he started, he was just counting the gold, and then he just realized that his dress became of gold, his shoes, they also become gold because it was touched to his body. And his daughter Goldie, actually she was never fond of all these things. She always wanted to be in the garden playing with him, but he never had time. The typical king mentality was there. So they called him that, okay, the dinner is ready. And this Midas king, he came walking to have dinner, and as soon as he sat on the dinner table, the chair became gold, the table became of gold. And then he was about to take the bread which was there on his plate, that bread also became gold. So then he started crying. He said, what can I eat? How can I eat golden bread? You can't eat gold bread. She started crying. And seeing this, his daughter also started thinking, oh, what is the misery of my father? So she came and she was trying to console him, you know, trying to hold him, and she also became gold. So now this king became very aggrieved. He said, now it is difficult. I cannot see my daughter like this for the whole life. And he started crying and praying. And then the sentry person came again. And he said, okay, now you have realized what is, you know, what you are trying to control. Now you go and take a bath in a particular lake. And then all these things will vanish. And you realize. So the point is that we are, like, whatever may be our position, we are trying to control. We are trying to think that, okay, I can control this, I can control that. We can see this in the nature also. We can see how honeybees, they gather so much of nectar from different flowers and they build their honeycomb. And the honeycomb is built. Lot of efforts are required. Systematic efforts are required to actually make this honeycomb. I mean, if we analyze the honeycomb, it is not haphazardly made. There is a proper workforce, management, all these things are there in this. And after doing this, what happens? Some living entity, some person comes and takes away all this honey from the honeycomb. And the honeycomb is also destroyed. So, what we are also like this living entity, this honeybees. We also are trying to develop so many things and think that, okay, we'll build such a house and property, everything. But someday, somebody may come and take it away, or the time factor may come and take it away from us. So, this is the situation. And even if we are like this king or these honeybees, everyone has to actually understand, like, the insect life, if we see how temporary it is. Sometimes just one night or one day. Human life may be much more than that, maybe 90 years nowadays, that has also come down. Some animals like tortoise, they have much more longer lifetime. Trees, they have more than that. Demigods have much more than that. So, in Bhagavad Gita, it is mentioned that these jivas and the conditioned souls and prakritis, they are always thinking that they are the doer. The conditioned soul thinking that either I am the doer or the nature is, because of the nature all these things are happening. But unless we have a knowledge that the Lord, Supreme Lord, Krishna is the doer, that is the main challenge which we face. He is the absolute cause. And we can see that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and He is the absolute cause. And we see in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, actually Krishna is becoming a charioteer of Arjuna. He is the cause of all these causes, but He actually becomes the charioteer, taking that position. And not only that, He is actually protecting Arjuna from all the attacks which are happening in the battlefield. They said that when the war ended, Krishna told Arjuna that you get down first and then I'll get down. And why it was told? Because as soon as he got down, the whole chariot was burnt, because it was attacked by so many weapons, but it was protected because Krishna was there. So he is the supreme protector, he is the supreme cause of all these things. And the same Arjuna, of course, this is a pastime, that afterwards when he goes to when Krishna leaves this material world, goes back to the spiritual world, he is defeated by simple coward men, realizing that supreme control or supreme power is with Krishna. So these are, all of us are temporary, and the nature of this material world is also temporary. But what is eternal? The eternal is the Bhagwan, Bhakta and Bhakti. The Lord, Lord's devotees and their devotional service. We can see this, that so many characters are there in Srimad Bhagavatam. They are eternally there. They are the devotees of the Lord. Why they are eternally present? It is all due to their bhakti towards the Lord. Because there is a connection with the Lord, then it is eternal. If it is not, then it is all temporary. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita also that Aham Sarvasya Prabhu Matta Sarvam Pravartate. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds, and everything emanates from me. So he's clearly telling us, unless we read, understand this, we will not actually realize or try to at least attempt to realize this particular aspect. It is not just Krishna who is talking about it. There are other great personalities like Lord Brahma. He is also glorifying this. Sometimes people ask, especially who don't believe about Krishna, they feel that Krishna is one of the ordinary personalities. They start thinking, "Are he is boasting about himself in Bhagavad Gita. Ki main Bhagwan hu." Right? But there are great personalities like Brahmaji and Shiva, Lord Shiva. They are also talking about it. Brahmaji is talking, Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Sachidananda Vigraha, Anadira Adira Govinda, Sarva Karana Karanam. He is the cause of all causes. So that is also mentioned in Brahmaji. And Lord Shiva, so I came across one nice verse from the fourth canto where Lord Shiva is actually praying to Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is praying. In the 24th chapter, 34th verse, this shloka comes. Nama pankaja nabhaya bhuta sukshma indriyatmane vasudevaya shantaya kutasthaya swacharochise. And it is said that Lord Shiva is praying that you are the origin of the creation by virtue of the lotus flower which sprouts from your navel. You are the supreme controller of the senses and sense objects. So not only just creation, but the senses and sense objects also, he is the controller. And you are also our pervading Vasudev. You are most peaceful, and because of your self-eliminated existence, you are not disturbed by six kind of transformations. So here also in this purport also it is mentioned that how that Krishna, when everything is annihilated, the Krishna, the Lord, Supreme Lord, he doesn't get affected by that. He is in this spiritual world, in his own abode. But the living entities, they get affected. And in the purport, Prabhupada actually also mentions that how these conditioned souls are agitated. Again, the cause and effect factor comes into the picture here. There, Prabhupada says that six kind of transformations are there. And because of that, living entities are getting agitated. They are getting agitated because of hunger, because of thirst. Now, today is Ekadashi. Some of us do Nirjal Ekadashi, some of us do half-day Ekadashi. And sometime in few weeks, probably we'll have actually Nirjal Ekadashi. Now, how much we can actually go through this kind of hunger and thirst aspect. Now some of us may be practicing this for quite some number of years and we may able to sustain Nirjal Ekadashi every year and sometimes all Ekadashis also. But if you are asked to do one more day, will you not be get agitated? Or next day morning we come and there is no juice and told that, okay, you continue one more day. Will we not get agitated? Right? So hunger, thirst, then aggrieved, you know, disturbance, so much of disturbance is there. Because, you know, we see in our daily life, you know, just walk out of this temple, sometimes here also, when we are doing services, we get aggrieved. Then illusioned, this is another cause of agitation. Growing old, everybody is growing old. What we were few years back and what we are today, there is a lot of difference. What we can do, what kind of services we can do. And the last, the sixth one is the deathbed. That is the ultimate agitation. People don't want to die. They say that, okay, save me, Lord, doctor. Somehow you save me. But sometimes it is not possible. So these are the transformations. And that's where we have to really understand that who is the absolute cause of all these things. So this, what we are discussed so far is about the cause and effects of the material nature and what is the supreme cause, the Lord. Now the real challenge is that we may know this theoretically, that Krishna is the supreme cause, is the controller. But there is a reason why we are forgetting this. That is the main reason. And one of the reasons of not remembering this is ignorance. So we'll try to understand what is this ignorance, and then of course illusion also. So it is said that ignorance is bliss. All of us heard this, that ignorance is bliss. So we'll understand how this ignorance is bliss. So I created an acronym for this bliss. So first word letter of bliss is B, bliss, blinds. So ignorance blinds us. And we can see this by the example of the character of Dhritarashtra. So Dhritarashtra wanted to be the king, but unfortunately he was not, because he was not given that opportunity because he was blind. So externally he was blind physically, but he was also blind spiritually. And he did not get the kingdom, but he wanted his son, although not qualified, he wanted him also to be the king. And then he ignored so many adharmas which were happening in that ambition of his own. Not only before the war, after the war, when everybody was killed, everybody was annihilated, still he had that desire to enjoy, to be in the palace of Hastinapur and take favors from the Pandavas. Unless and until the time Vidura comes into the picture and he tells him, opens his eyes by harsh words, strict words, and tells him, now at least you realize and start aspiring for the spiritual progress. And then he asks him, and then he leaves the palace. The other aspect is about laziness. L stands for laziness. So here we can learn from the example of Sugriva. So all of us know that Lord Ram, Lakshman, they were searching for Sita, and they reached Kishkindha Chetra, and that's where Sugriva and Vali. Sugriva was harassed by Vali, and they had a great fight, and Sugriva took shelter of Lord Ram and Lakshman and wanted that, okay, they please help me in this. And with the mercy of the Lord Ram, the Vali was killed. And Sugriva said that I will help you with my army to your search for Sita. But as soon as Vali was killed, Sugriva went back to his own consciousness of enjoyment. And he started enjoying with his family members, with whatever facilities he had. So that laziness crept in. And unless and until Lakshman, who is the representation of spiritual blaster, he came and he had to chastise Sugriva to actually realize that, okay, now you have some commitment to your spiritual commitments or their devotional service. And then only Sugriva started his further search for Sita. In contrast to this is Hanumanji. Hanumanji was also reminded by Jambuvan that you have the power. In one sense, Hanumanji was in ignorance in one sense, but he was not aware about his own power. But Jambuvan told him that, okay, you have this power, you can jump. And he jumped. He was flying towards Sri Lanka, and all of us know how the Mainaka mountain came into the picture. And he said that, okay, there is a place for you to take rest, have facilities, they are nice fresh fruits, water, everything is there. So please take some rest and then you carry on. But how was Hanuman's determination? He said, no, I don't want to take any rest now. My mission is to search for Sita. So that is also, like, we also fall to prey to this kind of laziness and we forget our mission of achieving the devotional service to Krishna. So that is the second thing we saw, blinds, then second is lazy. The third thing which happens out of ignorance is insensitivity. I stands for insensitivity. And this insensitivity leads to offenses. So we can see the example of Nalakuvar and Manigriva. How they were insensitive when Narad Muni comes to that arena where both these people are enjoying. They are drunk, they are enjoying with women in the water, absolutely unaware about who is there around them, seeing the personality like Narad Muni personally present there. So they were causing some kind of offenses. So these are the offenses which makes us forget Krishna, which is the greatest challenge which may have. So I came across one article of Mahatma Prabhu, and he mentions about this. He quotes that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, those who worship me directly but neglect my devotees are in illusion and cause me pain. Their offerings feel like a shower of burning cinders on my body. He who criticizes and offends my devotees will be destroyed by chanting my name. This is very dangerous. The same holy name can destroy us. So he says that, give up criticism of Vaishnavas and take shelter of my name. So this is one of the dangerous thing out of ignorance. What we can do is very, very fearful. So we have to be aware of this, that these offenses can make us forget Krishna. Then next is S, sinful propensities. And we can see these sinful propensities. These sinful propensities may come because of the belief systems we have or the family traditions we have which are carrying on, and we think that okay, this is normal, it's okay to do this. And we see this example of Mrugari. So Mrugari was a hunter and he was killing animals. And how he was killing animals? He was not just killing them directly. He was just killing them half dead animals, and they were suffering, bleeding. If somebody is killed, is shot dead directly, at least the person has, the suffering is less. But if he's half cut these animals, then the suffering is more. So Narad Muni, when he came and he saw that this he is killing animals like this, he asked him, why are you doing this? So he said, what is wrong in this? This is our family tradition. We have been doing this. My forefathers also were doing this. And similarly, we also have such conditions, such belief systems with us, where we feel that okay, it's okay to commit this kind of sins. Now, we may be devotees and we may not commit the such gross level sinful activities, but there are subtle levels also we are doing this. So this is another thing which is there because of the ignorance which we are falling prey to these sinful propensities. And because of all these things, we are actually becoming, the next S of bliss is spiritual sickness. And we can see this spiritual sickness by the life of Ajamil. How, because of his inattentive sadhana, commitment to the process of devotional service, he left everything. And when we leave the association of devotees, we are away from the association of devotees, our sadhana is not proper, then we are actually becoming spiritually sick. So this is the bliss of ignorance, which we don't want this kind of bliss. The next thing which is causing forgetfulness is illusion. And we can see that there are magicians who can create illusion. They can create so many things. They can make things appear or disappear with their tricks. But we don't understand that Krishna is the supreme magician. So many things are happening. All these planetary systems, they are moving because of Krishna's energy. So Krishna puts us also in this kind of spell of illusion with the help of his potencies of Mahamaya and Yogamaya. So we can see one example of Paundraka. How the Paundraka was. He was a king. He was a powerful king. But because he was under the illusion, and there was nobody to support him, nobody to guide him. He was a crazy fool. And he was thinking that I am the Supreme Lord, I am Vasudev Krishna. And his army, his Raja, they were also supporting, oh yes, you are the original Krishna. Sometimes we can see in the film actors, they are original film actors and they are duplicate film actors. And there is low budget, then they are invited. Okay, you do some entertainment for all of us. And then you may feel, oh, chalo, ye iske jaisa dikhta hai, uske jaisa dikhta hai. So Paundraka was like that. So he was even, in fact, putting up 400 forms, holding gada, chakra, everything he was doing. Just like any actor in a working, you know, acting in a drama or a movie. And he was challenging, he had the guts to challenge Krishna that, okay, now you should surrender. Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parijaya Mam Eka Sharanam Praja, surrender to me. And he is telling Krishna that you surrender to me. And in the assembly, I mean, I'll not go into detail of this story, but in the assembly he comes, he sends the message that, okay, you give me all your shastra, don't hold. And when Krishna sent the Sudarshan Chakra, actually cuts off the head of Paundraka. So actually this Sudarshan, what is this Sudarshan? Sudarshan is actually the knowledge. Krishna gives you awareness, the knowledge which is given in Bhagavad Gita. That is actually Sudarshan. And we can see that there are people, they are scientists, or not all the scientists, but many of the scientists or the authors, they are writing books showing that how Krishna is ordinary and we living entities are so powerful. That is what they are trying to show. So my great personalities also have undergone this kind of illusion. Like Lord Indra, Brahma, we know all know Brahma Vimohan Leela. Vimohan is actually illusion. So when these great personalities can have the effect of illusion, what to speak about us? Of course, Krishna puts his great devotees also in the illusion of Yogamaya. So we can see from the pastime of how Yashoda Maya, when she was looking into the mouth of Krishna and she started seeing the entire universe. But Krishna did not want her to understand that he is the Supreme. He wanted to be subordinate like a son to her. So he actually put her into Yogamaya. Similarly, he put all the Brajavasis. He did not want them to treat him like a Supreme Lord. They wanted him to treat like his friends or gopis, that relationship. So now understanding, there may be many more reasons of forgetting this, that Krishna is the supreme cause. But these are the two things which I thought we should discuss. Now, how to remove this ignorance and illusion? So let us see that this ignorance and illusion can be removed only when we have a torch of knowledge given by Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So before we start any class, we all of us recite Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. So here, what is the meaning of this? It says that I offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, who with torchlight of knowledge has opened my eyes, which were blinded by the darkness of ignorance. The Guru's task is to open the disciple's eyes of knowledge. When the disciple is awakened from ignorance of knowledge, he can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead everywhere, because the Lord actually is everywhere. Andantarastha Paramanu Shayantastham. Brahma Samhita also mentions about this. So we have spiritual master in a form of our Diksha Guru or a Shiksha Guru actually giving us this knowledge, the spiritual knowledge, which is the most important thing. People may be hungry for knowledge, which can be of any kind of knowledge. The most important knowledge to understand is the spiritual knowledge. Because this spiritual knowledge helps us to go beyond the external packaging, and it's like an X-ray vision to actually go inside and see that what exactly is the root cause. Otherwise, we may have a different perspective. Sometimes people talk about the universal form, universal structure, how this universe is. And there are unimaginable things which cannot be thought of with logic. Even sometimes the pastimes of Lord Krishna cannot use our intellectual, logical knowledge to understand it. So only when we have the blessing of the spiritual master, then only we can understand what is the value which we are getting within. So Bhagavad Gita actually begins with the query of Dhritarashtra. And Dhritarashtra is the representation of ignorance. And it ends, Bhagavad Gita actually ends with the words of Arjuna in 18th chapter, I think 73rd verse. Nashto moho smriti labdha tvat prasadat mayachyuta shishto me gataha sandeha karishye vachanam tava. Arjuna is saying that, my dear Krishna, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt, and I am prepared to act according to your instruction. So it starts with the representation of ignorance and it ends with enlightenment. That is how important is Bhagavad Gita or the scriptures or the words of the Lord. So Dhritarashtra also had this opportunity. The Arjuna also had similar opportunity. He took that opportunity to take guidance from Krishna. Actually, the whole Bhagavad Gita is a counseling session of Krishna. He was listening to Arjuna, and then after listening, understanding him, he was actually guiding Arjuna on the right path. So he had the opportunity and he took that opportunity. Dhritarashtra did not. So in corporate language, there is a concept of Johari window. Some of you might have heard about this. But simple thing, it says that there are four quadrants, four windows. One window is about, this is about self, understanding about self. Something which we know, known to self and known to others. The other is known to self, unknown to others. Third is unknown to self and known to others. And the fourth is unknown to self, unknown to others. So known to self and known to others, what we can do is, when we know, we have knowledge about something, we share with others and they share with us, and together we evolve. That's how the Ishtagoshti happens. We share that knowledge and then somebody says, okay, I have realization about this aspect. Now he gives a completely different perspective also. Known to self, unknown to others, where we can actually give that knowledge to others, teach others. And unknown to self, and known to others. This is where the most important thing, which is relevant to our today's discussion. This is unknown to self and known to others. This is where the association of devotees is so important, and the friends. So seek guidance and to take enlightenment from others. The association of devotees is so important. Recently I was hearing one class by Shyamanand Prabhu, and he made a very nice, very important point. He said that satsang is to shake our belief system, because we are going out of the association, and many times so many things comes into it. And when we come in the association of devotees and they talk and the way they behave, they do things, our whole system of belief system, which is not required, that is shaken up. So that is very important. So the sadhu, shastra and the association of devotees is very important. In Marathi it is said, Nindakacha ghar asave shezari. That what does it mean is that we need to have at least one criticizer, one person who tells us frankly, need not be a criticizer, but who tells us frankly that okay, that you are doing this mistake, please do something about it. It's so important. Otherwise everyone is just keeps glorifying you and not criticizing in a healthy manner. Healthy criticism is always welcome, because that helps us to improve. And then the fourth quadrant, which is unknown to self and unknown to others. This window is the window of Paramatma or the Lord, connection with the Lord. Because that is where we have to actually pray to the Lord that, okay, I don't know, even others are also not able to tell us what need to be done. So then the only prayers, and Krishna can reveal, of course Krishna will reveal to us through one of his devotees. So these are the four things which are very important. These windows, at least these two windows we should be always looking at, you know, taking guidance from our god brothers, god sisters, our well-wishers and the Supreme Lord. So this application of knowledge is more important, because we may have the tendency is to accumulate knowledge but not apply that knowledge. So application is more important than just accumulation. We may read so many verses, we may know by heart also those verses, we study and we'll be able to present it also nicely. But unless and until we apply it in our life and turn that knowledge, that gyan to vigyan, the realizations, we will not be able to progress. So that's why the application aspect is very important. And that's where I have been hearing many times from Radha Gopinath Prabhu. It's very famous thing which he talks about unconscious incompetence. So there are different phases. This unconscious incompetence is a phase of ignorance, where we are not aware about anything. And this phase, what action we need to do is to take education, take knowledge, right? When we get knowledge, then what happens? We are actually at least come to the stage of conscious incompetence. We are aware about what are our weaknesses, what are our strengths. We get to know about that. And what we need to do is not just be aware, but train ourselves that so that we can develop ourselves. And when we do that, we reach the stage of conscious competence. We are not only aware about our competencies, but we are actually able to practice those things. So next step is the phase of practice. So whatever we have learned, we start practicing that. And when we start practicing these things, then it becomes part of our competencies. It becomes unconscious competence. So we can see this, like, you know, especially those who have learned driving, how it happens. When you start learning the driving, when we first day we go to the driving school and the teacher tells us, okay, now this is the steering wheel, these are the gears, this is the clutch, this is the brake and accelerator. So till the time it is knowledge, okay, this is aware. And when you start training, what happens? Okay, pehle clutch dabana hai, fir then I have to put the gear. And sometimes it happens when you start moving on the road, sometimes you don't realize where is the accelerator, where is the brake. And instead of putting brake, we put accelerator. This happened with me once when I was learning, and suddenly I went and bagged something. So luckily there was no person who was hurt being that. But this is a normal thing. But once you start doing it, when you start practicing, what happens? You know, when you start practicing, then we see people in different positions. On bikes, people have, we have seen that, you know, somebody is holding the mic like the phone like this, and they are riding the bike and holding something else on the other, in the other hand also. So multitasking. So you become so habituated about it. Of course, the unconscious competence does not mean you become unconscious about a competency. That's the greatest thing, the biggest thing which can be a problem. Like when we start chanting, we say that, okay, we are unconscious, we competence, we develop that. And while chanting, so many things can actually happen with mobile phone or thought process or many other things. So these are like the different phases which we need to see. So the final thing which I just wanted to discuss is about, we discuss about the bliss. Ignorance is bliss. Now what is the real bliss? Let us discuss about that also. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the Shikshashtakam verse to all of us. And the first verse of Shikshashtakam is Cheto Darpanam Arjanam. And in this, it is said, Vidya Vadhu Jivanam Anandam Budhivardhanam. So, the Harinam, the holy name, is the one which gives us, it is said that glory to Shri Krishna Sankirtan. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. Right? So this is very important, because spiritual master, Guru Sadhu Shastra and his holy name, these are the keys which are to open up the spiritual knowledge. Unless we have all these things, we may just buy the books, may have the scriptures, and we may read, but we may not understand also. So the holy name is one of the important keys to this transcendental knowledge. And it increases the ocean of transcendental bliss. And it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. So only when we take shelter of this, and we can experience this bliss. Many of the devotees here from our temple, they go on Nagar Sankirtan. And some of us are able to participate sometimes. But when we see that devotees dancing together in Guru Puja or during the Nagar Sankirtan also, such a blissful atmosphere. So many people just get attracted that just seeing the bliss of these devotees. And once one devotee was mentioning that the devotees of the Lord, when they go for book distribution, they are on the street. And he actually asked, one person actually went and asked this person, ki aap kaun sa soap lagate hai? Ki aapka chehra itna blissful kaise hai? Why your face is so glowing and blissful? So they said, only we use the holy names, Harinam's soap. That makes us blissful. So knowledge itself will not make us blissful. Along with that, the devotional service, the holy name, the chanting, and the Sankirtan, that will make us blissful. And many of us are here sustaining for so many years. It is because of that bliss which we are getting. So that's it from my side. Thank you very much for your patience and tolerance. Hare Krishna. Thank you.